Today we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. This is one of those stories that you'd like to read the whole thing, but we're only going to read the beginning of it. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. This, and in biblical studies, this chapter is known as the Little Apocalypse. Here, it's one of the longest teachings of Jesus in all of Mark's Gospel. And here, Jesus talks about the end. What will the end be like? As we prepare to hear words from Scripture, let us ask for God's help. Let us pray. Speak again, O great teacher, that we may learn the lessons of life, how to live, how to follow you. Speak again, O great Word of God, that we may hear good news. Good news not only for our lives, but for the life of the world. Amen. Listen to this story that Mark remembers. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will the sign be that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will be raised up against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God. There's really only one thing I can tell you about when the end of the world will come. And that is that today we're closer than we were yesterday. It's the only thing true that I can tell you about when it will be. Indeed, if you keep reading this chapter, you will hear Jesus say, "Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows." Maybe you've even thought it yourself in recent days, even with the tragedy in Paris. Surely the end is coming near. Things are worse than they ever have been. There will be wars. There will be the telling about wars and rumors of wars. Even the foundations of the earth will shake. Famine will threaten the land. There will not be enough to eat. But Jesus says, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. What do you mean? The world's coming to an end. Don't be alarmed. Jesus says, don't be alarmed. These things have to come to pass. But the end is not yet. I read this passage from Mark and I hear hysteria. I hear confusion. But hope? Is there any hope in this story? Is there any good news? The disciples are leaving with Jesus, walking out of the temple, and they observe the magnificence. I mean, the temple at that time, built by Herod the Great, was an amazing structure, quite a feat of architectural ingenuity, never mind the engineering that it took to get those huge blocks of marble stacked one upon the other. It was an extraordinary building. Now, we in our modern world perhaps don't marvel at buildings too much anymore. But we do marvel at things that humans have created. I mean, imagine a machine that you could put cold things into and then just a few seconds later they would be piping hot and ready to eat. A microwave oven created by human ingenuity. I remember the days, maybe you do too, when you had to put it in the oven and wait a good 20 or 30 minutes before it was warm for leftovers. Do you remember the first TV dinner you ate? You know, it was on the metal tray. It reminded me of the old school classroom with a container for each thing. And you didn't microwave it. You cooked it in the oven. Amazing. What if I told you there was some place you could go to find out information about any subject in the world? Some massive form of an encyclopedia. And what if I told you you could get it in the palm of your hands? The World Wide Web. The internet. What an extraordinary human creation. It has now made a global world seem small. You want to know what's happening on the other side of the earth? You can look it up and you can know. Just recently, I was friended, don't you love that term? I was friended on Facebook by our partner church in Mexico. So now I can, in the palm of my hand, send greetings or inquire and share news with friends in Mexico. Instantly. What amazing technology. And you know that cell phone that you hold in your hand, even if it's a flip phone, you have more technology in your hand than was on the first space shuttle. Amazing. Made by human hands. And Jesus says to His disciples, you see all that man-made stuff? All that grandeur, all that wonder, all that human ingenuity, it will be thrown down. It will fail you. It will all come crashing down. What then? What do we look to for hope? Where is the good news in the story, Jesus? What are you saying to us? In the midst of wars, and the rumors of war, in the midst of terror acts, and the threat of more acts of terror, in the midst of fear and violence, Do not be alarmed, Jesus says. Why not? Because the end is yet to come. We hear that word, the end, and we think of destruction. But if we've been paying attention to the story of Jesus, have you ever seen Jesus destroy? Jesus came to redeem. Jesus came to recreate. Jesus came to heal. The end has not yet come. What end? The end toward which God is working. And what do you say that is? What is the end toward which Christ came? The salvation of the world. But if we read about destruction and moons being torn apart and the stars falling from the heavens, these things are to come to pass, Jesus says. But the end, my end, the goal toward which I am working has not yet come. The salvation of the world and the redemption of even the earth itself has yet to come. Do not be alarmed. Let me say it a different way. Our hymn writer said it this way. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Jesus says, do not be alarmed. Why? Because God is still in charge. The end has not yet come. The goal toward which God is pushing creation has not yet been fulfilled. But preacher, how do you know that? Do you remember the story? Roman occupation. The foreign legion, the battle, the soldiers walking the streets, oppressing the people. It was a terrible time of violence. And there was a young couple forced from their homes, a refugee couple who had been told by the government that they had to return home. Why? Because the empire needed more taxes. More taxes. So they went. To not go would be an act of treason. Could lead to death. So the couple went. And while they were there, they gave birth to a child. A child of promise. A child they had prayed about. A child that they had seen a vision of with angels. A child who would become the salvation of the world. Even in the midst of Roman occupation, even in the midst of oppressive taxes, even in the midst of destruction, God's purpose was born. Of course, that's not the end of the story, is it? That boy would grow old, gather a following, tell about God's kingdom to come, be arrested, falsely accused and falsely convicted, and put to death, the death of a criminal, laid dead in a borrowed tomb, sealed with a rock. But on that morning, When the grieving women came to embalm his body, a last rite, a blessing, they found something was wrong. The earth indeed had shaken. The stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Death, not even death, could hold God from bringing about His end. So do your best. Do your best to bring destruction to the earth. Do your best. But God is still working His purposes out. So today, friends, I challenge you to commit your life to living. Do not be alarmed. Do not be afraid, even when the news of France or Baghdad or other places grows harsh. Easter teaches us. Christmas reminds us that even though it looks everything to the contrary, God is still in charge. Commit to live for Christ's sake, to the glory of God. Amen.